Alhamdulillah wa the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue tonight also with the short malfuzat anecdotes of Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, which we have found very beneficial. Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi was concerned about the islah of the ummah, and therefore he brought about those maladies and diseases of the heart which many of us don't recognize, we don't realize we are victims of those illnesses and weaknesses. And he brings our attention, he draws our attention to those things so that we may focus on it and remedy ourselves. So the first malfuz today, inshallah, is a very short malfuzat. Remedying aversion. When one hears that someone had gossiped about one, and someone hears, when one hears that someone had gossiped about one, it is natural to become offended and be grieved. This natural feeling of emotion is not evil. Many people ask, I thought bad of some person because he spoke ill of me. Now to think bad of that person, is that a sin or not? As Thani Rahman explains, he says, when you hear that somebody has gossiped about you, he's made ghibat about you, so it's a natural feeling that you'll become upset. Now that natural feeling, that natural feeling of emotion, of becoming upset, that is not evil. But to act according to its demands, that is evil. In other words, now you become angry and upset, now you swear the person, you begin to quarrel and fight, and you cut off ties with the person, that is acting upon the demands of this emotion that you are going through. So, to naturally to become grieved, and to become upset, there's no problem in that. If somebody spoke ill of you, but then to progress in that direction, it's not progress, but to move in that direction and now give vent to your feelings, you become more angry and you begin to fight with the person, you quarrel with the person, that is incorrect. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah says, continue greeting the person and speaking to the person even if it is difficult. So you know this person gossiped about you, it's hard for you to go and speak to him. But Hazrat Thani rahmatullah says, now go and speak to the person, even if it is difficult. After a few days, the effect of aversion will be eliminated. You had in your heart now aversion for him. You're not happy with the person, you're angry, you're upset with him. So as you keep on meeting him, greeting him and talking to him, slowly that aversion will disappear. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah. This is a very common thing. And most of us, the moment we hear somebody spoke bad about us, then the next thing we do, we cut off ties with him. And then we start gossiping about that person and making ghibat, and we carry on looking for faults, and it just goes on. Now this is difficult to swallow for all of us. It's difficult to swallow that the man is talking bad about me and I must still carry on talking good to him. But this was the teaching of Sharia. This was the akhlaq of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The prior need, the prior and incumbent need is for everyone to be concerned with his or her own islah, moral reformation. This is the need. This is the basic, the primary need. And every person is to worry about his or her reformation. Nowadays, there is a widely prevalent malady of every person showing concern for the reformation of others. Hence, their gaze is on the defects of others, while they are forgetful about themselves. This malady exists in the layman as well as in the learned men, the ulama. Allah Ta'ala save us. So this is the whole thing. We are worried about the whole ummah's wrongs and evils, and we totally forget about our own evils. Very easily, we pick on the faults of A, B, C, and we never even look and make an introspection into our own lives and search and look for our own faults. لِيَحْجُزْكَ عَنِ النَّاسِ مَا تَعْلَمُ فِي نَفْسِكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a lengthy hadith, he mentioned this last part, that the wrongs and the evils and the weaknesses you see in your own self should prevent you and stop you from picking on other people's faults. So if a person sits and he takes out his piece of paper and his pen, and now he starts writing out all his own weaknesses and how to remedy those illnesses and weaknesses, he'll have no time to pick on the faults of others. Otherwise our lives will go away, we will pass away, we will leave this world, and we haven't made any reformation of our own selves. We were so busy finding and picking on faults of others and talking about the whole ummah, that those people must come right, and he, this guy must come right, and he is like this and she is like that, little realizing that we have the same problems in our life. And that is the whole object of tasawwuf and islah, that to remedy ourselves and undergo the spiritual reformation, this operation. We want to operate on everybody else, but we are sick ourselves. So we've got to sort ourselves first. Yes, with kindness, love, affection, when you see something wrong, you kindly advise the person. But you don't sit back and you look at every other person's fault and you gossip about the person and you say, these people must come right and those people must come right. And we totally become negligent of our own islah. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq in hidayah. So this is what Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah is explaining. This is what the tasawwuf and islah is all about, that we remedy ourselves. We have got so many weaknesses and we have to make islah of ourselves. Then in one malfus he explains tarbiyat by Allah, the spiritual reformation, this nurturing that is taking place. He says when Allah Ta'ala desires to do good to a person, when Allah Ta'ala desires to do good to a person, but this person is deficient in his struggle against the nafs. He finds it difficult to overcome his nafs. This mujahada is finding some weakness in that area. But Allah Ta'ala loves this person. So Allah Ta'ala then creates such circumstances which cure the maladies of his nafs. For example, Allah Ta'ala afflicts him with sickness or imposes the domination of an enemy who harms him, disgraces him. So initially the person suffers much in consequence, but then he confronts his difficulties with sabr and rida bil qada. He shows happiness to the decree of Allah. In this manner, he develops considerable spiritual power. So let's understand this. Hazrat Thani Rahman is explaining, when Allah loves a person, but this person is finding great difficulty to make mujahada, Allah wants to direct him. So in order to reach Allah Ta'ala, one has to go against his nafs. Now this person is having a problem with this mujahada. He's failing all the time. So Allah Ta'ala uses another way. And this is the tarbiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah afflicts him with some bimari. Allah save us. But some disease, some sickness. So what happens? In that period of illness and sickness, this person makes sabr. And when he is making sabr, now he is undergoing this tarbiyat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not realizing how he is nurturing his nafs. Because he is making sabr, he is accepting this decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is showing rida, happiness with the decree of Allah Rabbul Izzat. He is accepting this, he is making sabr, he is not complaining. He is going through some pain, some difficulty. He's going through pain and difficulty. So what is happening? His attention is focused to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's engaged more in ibadat, more in dua. His heart becomes very soft. A sick person, his heart becomes very soft. So it's easy for you to advise him in that condition. He'll accept whatever you're saying. Because now he realizes how weak he is. So when this person now is in this condition, besides his sins now being expiated and removed through the illnesses, he's making sabr to Allah Ta'ala. He's accepting this decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now he is gaining spiritual strength. As the Thani Rahman says, Quran says, Allah Ta'ala says, Inna ma'al usri yusra. Verily with every difficulty there comes ease. Allah is so kind. We go through some difficulty and immediately after the difficulty, Allah brings some ease for us. Allah Ta'ala never makes a person live in this world with only difficulties upon difficulties upon difficulties. Sometimes it seems as though, it just came out of the one problem and there another problem, musibat came. But there is the period in between the two difficulties, which he had some type of comfort, some happiness, some peace, but we don't realize. Why we don't realize it? Because we're only looking at the difficulty. We don't appreciate the comfort that Allah Ta'ala gives us. Nonetheless, Allah Ta'ala grants him honor and acceptance by the masses. So when he reaches this level, that he had some sickness or some enemy was taunting him, humiliating him, disgracing him, he made sabr, 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 sabr. The reward of all the sabr that he made is now Allah Ta'ala will give him maqbooliyat amongst people. He gets acceptance by the masses. When this occurs, he is devoid of pride. Pride comes out of his life. His independence increases. So he's not dependent on people anymore. He's independent of people. He's dependent only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his independence increases with the increase of his ranks by Allah. He's going closer and closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Along with the attainment of ranks of elevation. So his spiritual rank is now being elevated. With that, the desire for fame is annihilated. He doesn't care about fame, honor. So what happened? Allah Ta'ala made his tarbiyat in this way. It was difficult for him to oppose his nafs on his own. So Allah Ta'ala made him go through some type of other difficulty. And he made sabr. He had radha bil qada. And he accepted this decree of Allah Rabbul Izzat. His heart became soft, became closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He developed in himself good qualities. Pride was removed. Ujab and vanity was removed. Now his connection with Allah ta'ala is becoming more and more stronger. And the desire for fame is now annihilated. So this is what Allah ta'ala does. Sometimes when Allah ta'ala loves a person, Allah ta'ala makes his tarbiyat in this way. Allah Ta'ala nurtures him in this way. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to understand that we have to make tarbiyat of ourselves. Mujahada has to be applied over our nafs. The temptations will come, but we have to be strong. We have to have the himmat and the courage to refrain from those sins and to just follow and become obedient to our slaves. Or when a person goes to sickness, there are many other benefits and reasons and causes for illnesses and sicknesses. But one of the wisdom behind an illness that Allah Ta'ala afflicts a person with is Allah Ta'ala is making his tarbiyat. Provided he accepts this illness and sickness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not complain. So what's going to happen? His spiritual maqam, his level is now being elevated. He's going higher and higher through a sickness. Ordinary person, but through his sickness now he's reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we have any problem, what is the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? According to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was confronted by any issue of worry or fear, any problem, any worry, any fear, he would hasten to perform salat. Engrossment in salat would produce peace of mind. Engrossment in salat would produce peace of mind. Experience has established that engrossment with salat reduces worry substantially. So we find Rasulullah kana idha hazabahu al-amr fazi'a ila salah. Any problem that came, any matter that caused him some type of apprehension, some fear, some concern, some worry, immediately he will resort to salat. Two rakat salat is so powerful, so powerful, so powerful. Allah Ta'ala says, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. We want help from Allah Ta'ala, then number one, we have to have sabr. And number two, salat. So this two rakat salat, this is found in the lives of Sahaba. Any problem, any musibat, before going to the means, which is permissible to use, first they will resort to salat. They will make wudu and engage in two rakat nafil salat. And in the two rakat salat will be so, person, because now he's got a problem, he's got a musibat, so he's begging from Allah Ta'ala. You will find that two rakat salat that you read, that hajat namaz, you got some worry, some problem. You will have so much concentration in that salat, unlike the other nafil salat that we read. The other nafil salat we are reading, our mind is not there, we are not focusing. But now when he's desperately in need of something, he's got some financial problem. He got some social problem, some fears. Immediately when he reads those two rakat salat, you will find that the person is now concentrating. And he's begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will shed tears. After salat, he will raise his hands. He will beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what will happen? That salah that he read, Allah Ta'ala gives him such strength that don't worry my banda, I am with you. You are asking me, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, worshipping you only Allah, I'm not asking anybody else. I'm only coming to your doors. I'm asking you for assistance. Rasulullah SAW had told us that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, احفظ الله يحفظك. If you literally translate this, احفظ الله, protect Allah, Allah will protect you. What does it mean? How can you protect Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala is independent of all this. Protect the deen of Allah, Allah will protect you. Rasulullah repeated, he said, احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. He said, protect the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find Allah in front of you. When a person is sick in the hospital, and he presses the button for the alarm for the nurse to come, he needs some assistance. Here, you protect the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're pressing that button, Allah ta'ala is responding immediately. You'll find Allah ta'ala in front of you. Then Rasulullah said, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask, ask Allah Ta'ala. In other words, ask Allah Ta'ala first. He is musabbibul asbab. Everything is in his control. That musibat, how did he come? Came from Allah. So he will solve the problem as well. Allah is testing us to see which way are we going. Which door are we tapping at? And then Rasulullah continued. He says, وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And he says, when you ask for help, then ask Allah for assistance. Don't go elsewhere. We go last to Allah. And we use all other means. When everything fails, hey, let's make some dua. Let's have some khatam. Let's read some yaseen. First we go to Allah Ta'ala. And Rasul to explain that further, he said, if the whole ummat gets together, whole ummat, every single person, and they try and benefit you, they will not be able to benefit you except that amount which Allah has decreed in your favor. Bas, only that amount. And contrary to that, if the whole ummah gets together to try and harm you, they want to harm you. The whole ummah gets together, they will not be able to harm you except that amount which Allah has decreed against you. That's all. So therefore, we should get into the habit of two rakat salat. Any problem, whatever it is, some worry at home, business, at the factory, at the practice, at the madrasa, at the school, some social problem, domestic problem, person needs something, go to the masjid or at home, make your wudu, roll out the musalla and read two rakat salatul hajat. Read the two rakat namaz, beg from Allah, guaranteed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will definitely come. The moment we move in that direction, you will find results will come very quickly. And if we use the other way, we use all the means and go last to Allah Ta'ala, then our results will be delayed as well. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of having full tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So talking about tawakkul, as Thani Ramadan explains the meaning of tawakkul. He says, a man wrote explaining that he had started a madrasa on the basis of tawakkul. In other words, this madrasa will run only on reliance on Allah Ta'ala. We won't go collecting any funds. We won't charge any fees, etc. Whatever money will come, Allah Ta'ala sends that. So based only on tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, he was unaware of the meaning of tawakkul. So he said that due to lack of funds, he wrote to Hazrat Ali Ramatul Ali, now there is no funds. He said, we're making tawakkul. Whatever will come, will come. So he said, one of the ustads who was teaching resigned. There's no money, no salary, what is he going to do? The resignation of the mudarris brought great grief to the principal. This person who started the madrasa, the principal now became worried. He had lost an ustad, now who's going to teach his children? I'm short of one ustad, one teacher. Mudarris, the Arabic word. Hazrat Thani Rahman says, now, why does he grieve so much on account of this teacher resigning? The reality is that there is a thief lurking in his heart. Look at her. We might think such a great buzruk man. His mother is only moving a tawakkul. Now the moment he's got a problem, he's pareshan. If he had true tawakkul in him, he would not become pareshan. So now he's worried, he's concerned. As the Tani Ram says, he's got a thief lurking in his heart. We say, nafs ka chor, There's one thief inside. What is it? The desire is to advertise that I am executing this great and noble dini project. He wants everybody to know that, mashallah, you see, my madrasa is only moving on tawakkul, so we are very pious people. His maqsad is not genuinely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His maqsad is such that I am executing this great and noble dini project. Therefore, the reduction in the material ways and means causes his grief. Why does one fix a target for one's activity? As the Tanrim Rahmatullah explains very beautifully, whether it's a madrasa, or whether it's dunya, whether it's your shop, your business, listen very carefully to what he says. He says, do only what you are able to accomplish. Do only that amount which you are able to accomplish. What is within the limits of your ability. Thus, if due to lack of funds, all the ustad resign, and you can't continue the madrasa, then sit in your house and teach a couple of students yourself. Do not fix a specific target in your project. Many times we start a dini project, and we see we need to help so many people and dig so many boreholes and wells, and we'll do this, and what happens is no funds. Now we had fixed a target, and we made commitments. Now everybody gets pareshan. So don't do that. As the Tariq Imam says, do only that amount which we are able to do. So logical, so simple. If you're able to feed two people, then feed two people. But if you make commitment, I'll feed 100 people. Now you don't have the money. Your wife, she can't manage. She's not well. You've got a small place, and you give 100 people dawat. Now you're making taklif on yourself. You're putting other people in pareshan. If your maqsad was to show, hey, I can feed so many people, you don't have the ability. So don't do that. Do only that amount which you can manage well. It will remove all the pareshani from your head. So this person was told, don't open a madrasa and say, now on tawakkul, tawakkul, complete reliance on Allah Ta'ala, because you can't manage that. And when you can't manage that, now we'll start complaining, we'll become pareshan, we'll cry, we'll become depressed. So as the Tani Ramah says, thus, if due to lack of funds, all the ustads have to resign and sit in your house and teach a couple of students yourself. Do not fix a specific target in your project. The objective of the activity, whatever dini activity, what is the objective? It is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All our ibadah that we're doing, any dini khidmat we are doing, we're helping a widow, an orphan, a poor person, a miskeen, we are doing some good work in deen, we are digging up a well, you're helping some area which has been struck with some calamity, whatever it is. Your maqsad is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The attainment of this objective, and this is to please Allah ta'ala, is not dependent on factors beyond one's control and ability. So beautiful. If I want to please my Allah, whatever little I have, I will please my Allah in that way. What is beyond my means, so many people, they made commitments. And he said, we'll give so much of money to that institution. They didn't have that money. Now they started asking from this person and that person. They started borrowing money. Eventually, they tried to help that person. Maybe they had good intentions. But they did not have the means and ability and capability. And they put themselves in unnecessary taklif. What's going to happen? The person won't be able to sleep properly. Now he borrowed money. He promised he's going to pay that other person. It wasn't for himself. It was for a good dini project. But he borrowed from somebody to pay off that debt that they had, or whatever it was. Now he's in pareshan. Now he can't go to the masjid because he can't face the person. He can't sleep well, he can't eat well. Therefore, the attainment of this objective is not dependent on factors beyond one's control and ability. This is the principle which should always be remembered. Pursue what is within your power if it is not futile. The work is a good work, it's not futile. Only do that amount which is within your power. And this applies to all of us. Whether we're writing a kitab, publishing a kitab, we're doing some website, we're doing some helping some poor with hampers, we're doing some dini khidmat, whatever it is, only do that which is within our power. Never contemplate to acquire what is not within your ability. If you adopt this principle in all pursuits, both your deen and dunya will be reformed. Even in dunya also. Only buy that amount of goods that you can pay for. You buy excess goods, now you're pareshan. Couldn't sell the thing, what do I do? Worry will not afflict such a person who only does that amount what is within his means. Many times we try to impress people. Many times. So when you try to impress people, the objective is gone. We're not pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we'll take on ourselves more than what we can manage. As it Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullah say in Arabic, طَلَبُ kul, فُوتُ kul. That I want to do this, yeah, I want to do that, put my name for this also, and that list, I must do that project also. Eventually, he can't do anything. He's unable to do it. Because now, he's called for a meeting here, he has to help that person, he has to see to that person. He can't do everything himself. Do something which you can manage, even if it is little. But pleasing, you are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's the maqsad. Allah is razi, then you don't have to worry. There are people have different capacities and capabilities. There are some ulama, mashallah, in India, who we know, they are running thousands of madrasas, and when we see their works, we feel so embarrassed. We can't even manage teaching few children. And they are running thousands of madrasas. No exaggeration. Thousands of madrasas. Little maktabs, darul rooms, hospitals, and they're helping the poor, the needy, Muslims, non-Muslims. So much of work they're doing. So Allah Ta'ala takes different type of work from different type of people. We can all of us can't do that. One person, what he is doing. Some people, Allah Ta'ala gives him the tawfiq. But what is the bottom line? A person can be doing so much of work sometimes, but if it is done for show, then he gets zero. He won't get any sawab in the akhirat. And the person is doing, mashallah, so much of work, and he's doing it with the pleasure of Allah. Mashallah, he's scoring high points, Allah Ta'ala gave him the tawfiq. Somebody can do something very little. All he did is he or she gave the dog water to drink to please Allah. Allah says, I pass you, you got Jannah, finish. So whatever little we can do, but do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't try and impress and now show somebody a point. Many times when they have pledges for some project, now because that fellow gave 5,000, no, I have to give more. No, only do that amount which you have. We're not like Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The tawakkul was different. The iman was so different. Yes, there are examples that are there for us to try and emulate, but it will take us the time to reach that. Can any one of us do like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq did? Let's be honest. When Tabuk took place, there was one occasion Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, thought to himself, today I beat Abu Bakr, definitely. Because I brought exactly half of my belongings. Let's be honest, anybody will go home today, take out half. If you got two cars, one car, you take out, imagine you got two Porsche, what you do? One Porsche in the path of Allah, I'm going to give. Nobody does that. Sayyidina Umar actually, when he said, exactly half my belongings I'm giving for this expedition. So he thought to himself that today definitely, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is not more wealthier than myself in dunya. Sayyidina Umar must have had a little bit more. So he said, if I brought half my belongings, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, what is he going to bring? His half of his belongings you bring also won't be so much as what I am bringing. So he took his half his belongings, he was so happy that today I beat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. They had ikhlas. Their competition was not like ours. Their competition was to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to score a point, not to humiliate the next person. That is what Quran talks about. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ Regarding akhirat, we should compete with one another. Genuinely to beat the person to gain Allah's pleasure more and more. So when it came to the turn of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, ulama explained, they say, Rasulullah did not ask, oh Abu Bakr, what you have brought? What did he ask him? He said, Abu Bakr, what did you leave behind? Umar radiallahu anhu realized. So that person to me, Umar, what you have left behind? Left half my belongings. Abu Bakr, what have you left behind? I have left Allah and his Rasul behind. I have left Allah and his Rasul behind. That was everything I gave. Who you left behind? Allah and his Rasul. Now this was a different tawakkul they had on Allah. But they gave their lives, their wealth, their properties, their monies. They gave everything for the sake of Allah. But their hearts were pure, clean. May Allah Ta'ala give us those type of hearts, pure hearts, that jazbah, that fervor of giving, sacrificing everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to go gradually. So what is the khulasa of this malfuz we did today? that never contemplate to acquire what is not within your ability. If you adopt this principle, then you'll have peace of mind in both dunya and akhirat. You won't become pareshan. You won't have deadlines to meet. Nothing to worry about. What I could manage, I did. What I couldn't manage, no problem. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to understand this, inshallah. One last malfus. There are so many things, Hazrat Thani has written, volumes and volumes. Hazrat Thani Ramadhan, when he passed away, ulama have written that nur came out from between his fingers. Nur, light, people saw it. Because he writes so much. And their writing was not ordinary writing. Volumes, his bayan of Quran, tafsir of Quran, even ulama find it difficult to read. Gems there. Such deep understanding of Quran they had because their hearts were pure. Allah gave them that knowledge, they made amal also, and they passed it on. Therefore he was called Mujaddidul Millah, a reformer of our times. He didn't claim to be that, no. Imagine if people are coming to him, he said, no, you'd rather go to that sheikh and go to that person. You know, become insan, human being, then come here. But then you must be ready to become a human being. So sometimes you're reprimanded. All this is to make you a genuine human being. Success in this path, he says, reflect, ponder, and supplicate to Allah Ta'ala. Reflect, ponder. We don't reflect, we don't ponder. We don't even look at the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. When we're driving, in the morning, we see the sun rise. It's so beautiful. What should you say? Subhanallah. Sometimes you look at the sky, it's amazing. What a beautiful decoration Allah Ta'ala has painted there. The clouds, the mountains, the sea, we have the sea. We're not looking at the sea, we're looking at the sharks there. You know what I'm talking about. And then we see Allah's Qudrat, MashaAllah. Wife is next to you and you will say, hey, one thing. Allah Ta'ala has created some beautiful people. So, we all nafs kachor. If you just ponder over the sea itself, the oceans, it shows the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the trees. People who go to Drakensberg, they go for holiday, then those are the places you're supposed to see the scenery and ponder and reflect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azmat. Ulama have, Allama Nawawi Ramadan's whole chapter on pondering over the great makhluk of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So he says reflect, and not only reflecting, of course, you look at the greatness of Allah Ta'ala when He is created, and even reflect over your own self. Think, have you ever realized, why have we been sent into this world? What am I doing? What is my goal? What is my purpose? How successful I have been thus far? Am I passing my examination? Am I failing? What I need to sort out before Maut will come, before Qiyamah takes place? Do I know I have to face my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we ever taken stock of ourselves to reflect, ponder? And with all this we require to make dua to Allah. We need Allah. So if we ask Allah, Ya Allah, you grant me yourself. We can't ask somebody else to make us reach. We need Allah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, you guide me. Allahumma ahdini. Oh Allah, you guide me. What are we reading in Surah? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Ya Allah, you guide me to Surat al-Mustaqim. Surah Fatiha is a dua. So, with this you make dua. And then he says, strive and struggle. It's a struggle, you're battling. Nobody comes onto this path towards Allah Ta'ala and just one shot he just reaches Allah Ta'ala overnight. Yeah, there are those people, exemptions. Allah Ta'ala, somehow for some reason, Allah Ta'ala makes a person reach quicker than others. The normal procedure, the normal trend is strive and struggle. Lament and shed tears by Allah. You're going to cry. The other day I came across a malfuz, I don't sure if I mentioned it here or not. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah says, I have seen two people in my life who used to cry and make dua. And the dua really affected me. The way they used to make dua. He says, one was my father, Mawlana Yahya Rahmatullah, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya's father. And the other one, Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Mahdi Rahmatullah. These two people, he said, I observed very closely. And he says, you know what kind of dua they should make? Brothers, inshallah, and of course our mothers and sisters listening at home. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of making such dua. He says, like how a child is being beaten up, is given a hiding, and the child is shrieking, yelling, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Like that we're supposed to be begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're just making something and we just class. Begging from Allah, as though child has been given, hiding, how the child cries out to the parent, asking for maaf, please forgive me, or begging the father or the mother or the grandfather, please give me this, or forgive me, help me. Like that we're supposed to be begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, in solitude, in the masjid, all of us do that, everybody will get disturbed. But sometimes there's an occasion where people cry. Laylul Qadr night. Involuntary person just starts crying, just breaks down, it happens. But even when we are alone in seclusion, then there's a time we're supposed to be begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way. So, dua and shed those tears. Cultivate humility, tawazu. Humility. Really, don't just believe that everybody else is more superior to yourself. Really believe that I am most insignificant. I'm telling you, wallah, these malfuzat, I found extremely beneficial. Allah give me tawfiq of making amal. It's easy to just read it out. But these are the weaknesses that we have. We can become upset, angry. This person said that. But if you think of yourself to be nothing, everybody else is more superior, greater than yourself. So what if he told you something now? He was greater than me. I'm still inferior to him. Cultivate humility. Banish pride and vanity from your mind. These are the things that led to shaitan's destruction. Pride. So take out pride from your heart. Take out vanity from your mind. Thereafter, there will be no undue delay in reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pride is out. Vanity is out. You have humility. You are begging. You are making tawbah, istighfar. Hazrat Thani Ramana says, there won't be any delay in reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without cultivating this state, there will be no success. Our problem is with the pride, with the ujab, with the fame, with the greed, and with the malice, and with anger, and all these diseases. We just want to reach, become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to fulfill the criteria. Allah has got those preconditions. You want to become my friend, I am ready to make you my friend. But just fulfill these conditions. We're not prepared to fulfill those conditions. We find it very difficult. No, I can't do this. No. I just want Allah Ta'ala to just favor me. So let us make that mujahada. Have that humility. Banish that pride. It's not an overnight thing. Right? We'll come out outside from the masjid and we'll be tested immediately myself also. Son will become upset. Pride will come. Again, we have to remind ourselves. These malfuzat are not just once-off thing we read it now. We had one majlis, mashallah, over. It has to be repeated. We have to remind ourselves again and again. These are the same sabaks all Abu Zughaniddin taught, which Rasulullah should teach Sahaba all the time. If you read the books of Ahadith, this morning we did a Hadith in Madrasa. Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu was such a great Sahabi of Rasulullah. We can't imagine his maqam. When he came to Zuhud, abstinence in this world, he was number one. No ta'aluk with dunya whatsoever. It's a long story. Nonetheless, once somebody sees him with his servant or his slave, and exactly what he is wearing, the slave is wearing the same thing. In other words, he honored his slave in this manner. Gave him very good clothing to wear. Somebody asked him, why? Why have you done this? He says, there was a person one day, when I just accepted Islam in the beginning days. So he said, I had belittled the person by picking on his mother. I belittled him by picking on his mother. I humiliated him in that way. Like many times you swear somebody's mother. When Rasulullah heard that, he said, Abu Dharr, innakam ru'un fika jahiliya. You are a person who still has some jahiliya, ignorant trait and character in you. You need to remove this from your heart. You need to take this thing out of your heart. Abu Dharr realized that he had this weakness at that time, that he should not have looked down and despised any person and saw on his mother. So immediately, he, to make Islam of himself, this is what he did. He now regarded himself and believed himself to be inferior to every other person. And regarded that person to be more superior. And therefore, whenever he had any slaves, he would make sure that he treated them better than what he treated himself. This is the gist of that hadith. So these are lessons for all of us. We're working in the shop, in the factory, wherever we are, and we pick on our workers, whatever. Realize that we have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to have this humility in us. Until and unless we don't have humility, tawazu, we will never reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to remove this pride and not to have this love for honor and fame. We are nothing. We are insignificant. We write in our letters the most undeserving, insignificant. In Arabic say Abdul Faqir, Metukushnayu. We always say Ibn Amar Nachis. I'm not talking about the fruit Nachis. Nachis. Cheese means thing. Nachis. I'm nothing. I'm a useless. To Allah, you're a buzruk. I'm nothing. But we don't believe that. We believe we're everything. We believe we're somebody. That's the truth. Go test ourselves at home and tell your wife you're a Nachis. And let her tell you that also. Immediately we become upset and angry. Nobody likes to be called nothing. So why we give ourselves all those, in slang we say, spaza titles. We are deceiving ourselves. Let us be honest. Remove this hypocrisy from ourselves, from our hearts. And if we really feel you are insignificant, unworthy, then genuinely you must believe that. So then whatever comes your way against you, it should not affect you. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma. Wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.